Merry Christmas.
Rich, we're writing this script in October. Do we really need to start with the Merry Christmas stuff now?
Bloody sports ball.
Merry Christmas.
Rich, we're rehearsing this in November. Do we really need to start with the Merry Christmas stuff now?
Sagging fat and rassing, son of a
bitch. Merry...
Rich?
What now? What?
We're recording this Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas.
But that was my line. I've been waiting all year to say that.
Open out to the news desk.
Okay, whatever. I am getting in the party spirit. Party.
Rich?
No, mate. It's good. You carry on.
Come.
Both the Ionix and the A9 have got fancy graphics acceleration now. Geminus from Spelling Software speeds up the desktop using sprite caching and window caching, while the A9 Home has been seen at the recent Riscos roadshows with virtual desktops and screen rotation.
Ooh. Remember how we had that news article on the front page about Child's Play, the charity started by the Penny Arcade guys to donate toys to sick kids in hospital? But they've just announced that the $400,000 mark has been breached, and when the final total is in, they should have cleared a cool $500,000. That's what I call Christmas cheer.
Starfighter 3000 has been upgraded with a few more bugs fixed. You can get that from starfighter.acornarcade.com.
Oh yeah, and haven't APDL released some more old 4th Dimension games? What have we got this time?
Cataclysm, Spoboid and Boogie Boogie, now out on CD. And David Bradford tells us that his new magazine called Retro Fusion is now on sale, featuring an interview with John Hare. That's John Hare of Sensible Software, not John Hall, Iconbar's resident perv. Are those chestnuts ready yet, Moss?
Oh, mate, don't feed him nut lines. However, carrying on where Trevor McDonald has left off, and finally, the very same John Moss Hoare is something of a star in his own right, along with the rest of the Observation Dome team. ObservationDome.org, as I'm sure you're all aware, is a Red Dwarf fan site, and their comedy short lampooning the difficulties of financing a Red Dwarf movie was included on the Red Dwarf Series 7 DVD. So don't forget to rib him endlessly on the forums about that. So, Phil, we're going to do a debate then.
Yeah, okay. So what shall we discuss? Sap V Stronghead?
Yeah, might as well. Right, well, glad we got that one sorted out once and for all. Shall we just go straight into the interview then?
Okay.
This time out, Phil speaks to Paul Middleton.
Hi Paul, so to start off, how did you get involved in the Riscos scene, or I suppose Acorn as it was then?
How far do you want to go back? My first brushes with computers started back in 1980. Local schools here in Cardiff had been using handy computers. Some of them had started looking at the BBC Model A. I just fancied the Pandy, the RS-80 Model 1. It seemed to have more things on offer for it, and a local dealer was everybody used to congregate to try out the latest things you could do on the computers. I remember the arrival of a new editor assembler package by a little company called Microsoft.
Don't know what happened to them.
I remember that stage, there was an article that I think they had something like 6 or 10 employees at that stage. But anyway, from then on I progressed up through various models of Tandy's, right up to the laptop portable. Had 180k floppies, I seem to remember. So at that stage I was working in TV, a videotape editor. I got an MSX computer, AC5 I think it was, somewhere around about then, and started using that for producing burnt-in subtitles and time code for subtitling programs. At various times throughout the 80s, I worked my way up the ladder and eventually set up a television facilities company in 1988. That was the biggest check I've ever written out, buying a complete company outright. From then on, subtitles became something that was very much a political issue. I was working for S4C, the 4th TV channel. At that stage, they used to subtitle about 1 or 2 programs a week. and their new chief executive quite rashly that we will be subtitling up to half of our programs in English within the next 3 to 5 years. The system costs about £25,000-£30,000 per system. And the accountant said, that was very nice publicity, but how on earth are we going to afford that? So when we heard about that, I thought, there's probably a cheaper way of doing that. My brother had just finished Cambridge University at that stage and was working for Armadillo Systems and looking at what they thought was going to be the successor to Arthur, not knowing that at that stage Acorn were themselves already producing their own successor to Arthur, which was going to be Viscos. Armadillo, I think, had about 10 or 15 people working on the new operating system, and Acorn dropped the bombshell that they had already done it. My brother was, along with a lot of other people, some of whose names are quite famous nowadays, were left without jobs within the company, and they were unable to really carry on doing much. To cut a long story short, after going round the houses with a lot of different companies, we eventually worked with Merlin Instruments to produce the necessary video card to produce the system, which then retailed for about £6,000, and that was how I first got into working with Acorn computers.
Lots of people started out with the BBC Micro, but for you it was the Archimedes.
Yeah, as I said, certainly down around in South Wales here, the BBC didn't get any penetration into schools, certainly well into the late 80s. Tandy was very much the flavour for the local schools around the area. It varies around the country, sort of Scotland, well into the 90s, it was very much an Apple area. Once we'd started doing the subtitling side of things, Acorn were interested if you want to become dealers for South Wales. We haven't got much support in South Wales at the moment. From then on, the background that I had in TV and working with Acorn, lots of film companies merged together. We started supplying Acorn computers for TV companies. On and off is still something that we get involved with every so often. Acorn were quite happy to supply computers for the benefit of their publicity. BBC obviously were quite fussy at that time of product placement. Something has been going on right back to the 60s. The first Doctor Who film was sponsored by Sugar Puffs.
Any TV shows in particular?
Most of the first 5 or 6 series of The Mind to Kill, originally on S4C and Channel 4 and for Channel 5 and on Sky. That was based in a mobile sort of police incident room. We used to do all the graphics for the crime scenes and to do DNA analysis and whatever else it was that was part of the feature of the film.
And you were also involved in producing clips for Acorn Replay.
Sophie was quite amazed being able to knock off assembler off the top of his head, video processing software, and really knew exactly what the ARM chip was capable of, which wasn't surprising since he helped design it in the first place. Yeah, I think if we'd have had a serious market for that at the time, Acorn computers could probably have competed well with the likes of Avid. Acorn at that stage was a £200 million a year turnover company, which in the scale of things at the time was sort of quite big within the education sector. They were running pretty much neck and neck with Research Machines. In the scale of things, it was the sort of money that IBM spent on advertising a year. And, at that stage, there were lots of people making a lot of money out of Acorn. There was people that were quite clearly at that stage making £80,000-£100,000 a year.
So what happened when Acorn closed down its workstations division?
That was an interesting time, really, because when Acorn announced that they were pulling out of doing Acorn World Show and that Phoebe had been cancelled, ourselves as Acorn dealers, along with lots of the other Acorn dealers at that time, thought we'd been doing reasonably well out of selling this PC, and everybody was really pinning their hopes on Phoebe coming out, because at that stage sales of just about everything else had really dried up. The focus for most people was how on earth we were going to rescue Phoebe. The focus wasn't really on what can we do to keep the whole Acorn business and the supporting companies alive. Quite coincidentally at the time, it was actually Cyrillica who had organised a PR day to launch Vantage. And I looked back in my diary last night, and it was 24th of November 1998. Interesting, I'm thinking, well, Acorn's not really about the new computer. It's about the fact that there's all these other companies around that are interested in selling their software. And it doesn't really matter what computer it actually runs on. It's the rest of the companies that actually constitutes what makes up Acorn, really. We were due to have a meeting with Acorn, pretty sat in my Miss BC all night, typing up the idea of, We don't want to buy CD, we don't want to get into manufacturing. We want to buy discos. One by one, the various other people that had come along as either dealers or had been sort of interested in the original steering committee idea, put their proposals to Acorn, and we got sort of nods of, yeah, sure, that's interesting, but you know, how are you actually going to finance, you know, that idea? And you know, we just don't think you can really, you know, try and take over a £200 million company and, you know, carry on running it as, you know, with a different management. And then there was a sort of lunch break, and my brother, who was working at Acorn at the time, came in and said, you know, have you said anything to Acorn about what your ideas were? And I said, no, yeah, but you know, I'll probably mention it in the next session. So then we sort of reconvened back in again, and has anybody else got any ideas? And I said, well, if I have. I handed out to everybody the proposals that I had for simply taking over Acorn from the software side of things. Obviously, the first sort of figure they came up with, based on the value of the discos being 100 man years worth of development, wasn't quite within the area that we were thinking of paying out. Instead of buying discos, we came down to the idea of, well, you know, we don't really, really want to own it in its entirety. We just really want to make sure that all of the Acorn companies that were involved at that stage, of which I think we had a list of about 120 companies making their livelihood from discos, that there would be a market carrying on for them. I think what they were really concerned about ultimately was that the people that were left within Acorn at that stage had seen Arm being spun off in 1990. But you know, we don't want potentially to sell off discos on the cheap, and then find that we've magically got some other manufacturer that's going to turn us all into millionaires overnight without Acorn getting a chunk of it. Yeah, we could have tried to have done a deal with Acorn that would have seen us taking over manufacturer of CD and bringing it to market. There's no way we would have done that in the sort of 3 months that we did the deal with Acorn in the first place. You know, if we'd have known what was going to happen with Acorn, with Morgan Stanley, Dean Witter coming along, I think if we had been embarked on trying to take over Acorn in its entirety, it would never have happened. It would have been usurped and left by the wayside. One of the first things I did was to meet up with their publicity people and their chairman and sit down and explain, you know, why we were using Riscos and why we'd bought just that bit of Acorn and left the rest of it for them to purchase. It followed on, you know, a year or so later, that Acorn engineers that were left in Cambridge that Pace had taken over, then started redoing Acorn in a big way. Throughout most of the summer of 1999, there'd been all the engineers in Cambridge officially sitting around twiddling their thumbs waiting for Pace to decide what to do with them. And in practice, they'd all been carrying on doing what they'd always done, which was develop Riscos and make it do things they wanted to do rather than the things that their management were telling them they wanted to make it to do. And ultimately, that was how Riscos came about, because the engineers there were doing it because they wanted to do it. It wasn't because there had ever been an official project to produce the first Dubit version of Riscos. I think at various times, Pace had tried to stop their engineers from doing it, but they were supposed to be doing other things.
Is that how the Ionics came about?
All of the hardware manufacturers went to Pace in the summer of 2000 to have a conference to discuss where we were all going in terms of hardware manufacturers and where Riscos Limited was going in its software development and where Pace were going with its versions of Riscos development. Things like USB were discussed in great detail at that stage. Pace showed everybody where they were up to with their 32-bit developments on ARM9 computers. We made an offer to Pace to license the whole 32-bit to make it equally available to all the manufacturers. But at that stage, it was just the beginning of Pace themselves beginning to run into difficulties. I think at that stage, their shares were trading at around sort of £6 or £7 a share. And within a matter of months, they've dropped down to, I think, the bottom end of about 17 pence a share. And consequently, Pace were not really interested in much other than trying to keep their own business afloat. We got pretty much the same response from Pace as we did from Acorn originally, that discussed with 100 man years worth of development, and if you want to buy it outright, show us something that's got a million at the end of the figure that you're talking about. What happened from then on is very much, you can get lots of different stories depending on who you listen to as to what happened when. Practicalities were that Castle then came out with the Ionics a year later, announced that they'd bought Riscos from Pace.
Right. So what about Select?
We knew when we started that the availability of the ROMs in the Risk PCs and others was fairly limited. Acorn used to do all right, because you know, they would order 10,000 pieces at a time. It was down to, I think, just two companies at that stage in the entire world who were able to do production of suitably sized ROMs. It was about a 6-month lead time at that stage, which means you've got to fully test, debug, and then wait 6 months before your product actually gets to market. So in practice, we would be looking at somehow or other producing a fully tested and debugged version of Viscos and, you know, getting it to market sometime probably in 2002, which we didn't think was a viable option, really. We knew that if there was going to be confidence in Viscos carrying on, it had to be done as fast as possible. So that's when we then came up with the idea of doing a soft load version of Viscos. Yeah, we'd always expected that we'd have to do something like that. One of the reasons why we only allow for flash ROM soft loading of Viscos on top of Viscos 4, because Viscos 4 has some of the support that's needed in it to support that flash loading.
Mm-hmm.
When we first started the select scheme up, working with FACE, the idea was very much that we would release new components that people could test out and get the feedback on them as the scheme progressed and released fixed versions. Unfortunately, way too many people did not seem to realise that that was the aim of the scheme. They thought that what they got the first time out was perfectly up and running and tested and was all going to be hunky-dory. Consequently, we had to subtly change the way that the select scheme worked from being a beta release scheme and we were spending on the phones, supporting people until 9, 10 o'clock at night. That's why you've got it for you to tell us what doesn't work and help bug fix it for the next version.
But there's been some delay for Select 4.
Yeah, unfortunately that's just purely been the time scale that it's taken to actually do the work. Far from what some people seem to be spreading the story of, that we have not done any work on anything at all for the last 2 years. In fact, a considerable amount of work has been done in the last 2 years. Just unfortunate that we haven't got to a point where we can honestly say, here is a version of Viscos that's 32-bit that you can use on your machine on a day-to-day basis. So it would have been great if we had been able to totally make Viscos for 32-bit in a few weeks' work last year. In practice, we knew it was never going to be a quick job. Some people said, well, if you'd been a year and a day over, then we would have claimed that you hadn't supplied anything. The fact is, unfortunately, yes, we could have supplied something, but it's absolutely no use having half of this cost 32-bit and the rest of it not. We've proved now that we can take our version and make it 32-bit and support the new Advantage 6 hardware. And from then on, we would be able to add on support for other new processors.
What's the timetable for that, then?
My hope is that we will get to a point where we've got an entire select for the PCs, hopefully by about the Wakefield showtime this year. Following that, there will be the A9 in its final version. The A9 won't have all of the features that will be part of the future select for scheme. It's something you want to encourage people to also join into the scheme.
And what about Ionix users?
Certainly, there's always been lots of different versions around. People that moan that there's two diverging schools of development on Viscos, that's nothing compared to the number of different versions of Viscos that used to be around. And in practice, the problem is that Viscos has never really ever started from a completely clean base. Over the years, when a new product came out with Acorn, they would usually just do quick hacks in particular parts of it rather than going back to scratch and putting in specific support for new features. We got a version of Viscos that was designed for Phoebe and had a bugs database with it of, I think, several thousand known bugs. Because we had to make it work on the MSPC as opposed to the Phoebe, there was quite a lot of changes that had to be undone to make it work on the MSPC.
And Viscos 5?
To be honest, merging those back into one version of Viscos is something that may be a wonderfully laudable commercial idea, but on a pure programming level is a hell of a lot of work that I don't think anybody really wants to try and embark on. So the way that Viscos has to be developed at the moment is we have to work from the ground upwards on producing a new 32-bit neutral version of Viscos, which in a lot of areas has meant complete rewrites of particular chunks of Viscos.
You had some Ionix components running at the roadshow last week, though.
Yeah, I mean, the point is that after the standard Viscos build, I think there's 120 modules on Viscos 5 on the Ionix. Got around about 160 to 180 different modules on different versions of the select and adjust build that we have at the moment. you can't simply take one or two modules and make them work on the Ionics, because often they will rely on other parts of Vistos, especially the kernel. Purely from a financial point of view at the moment, certain parts of Ionics version that are self-contained and don't rely on anything else, obviously we can look at releasing those on their own. Ultimately, we need to do an entire 32-bit Vistos 4 kernel that supports the Ionics in order to have everything running on an Ionics.
And what's the future for Select?
Obviously, we would encourage people to carry on subscribing to the Select scheme for the sake of it being the Select scheme. Select scheme is not just about developing Vistos for this PC. It is now developing Vistos for all the machines that we want to put it onto. If you think that, you know, an engineer, say, is going to cost £40,000 a year in salary, I don't think we're going to pay £40,000 a month, that some of the discussions on Droid seem to be evolving around recently. That if we have 100 people subscribing to pay for the cost of a £40,000 a year engineer, then obviously, you know, the cost you can work out yourself, but that needs to be in an annual subscription. So if nobody contributes to that basic pop in the first place, then, you know, development won't happen. So we need a core level of people who are prepared to contribute on an ongoing basis, and obviously they will get recompensed by having suitable discounts on what comes out at the end of the line. The same thing is likely to happen on a longer basis for the Ionics. We will at some stage, it may be a year or 2 years down the line yet, get to a point where we have got an entire Vistos 4 version which is entirely compatible with the Ionics. And obviously, by that time, people that have continued to contribute to the Select thing will get that at a much greatly reduced price compared to somebody who sat on the sidelines saying, oh, nothing's going to ever happen, I'm not going to buy anything until it's complete product.
So it's all down to the subscribers?
Yeah, we don't have a subsidy from selling computers or selling one or two other very expensive products to subsidise the development of Vistos. Because of Vantage 6 said, yes, we want to use a 32-bit-only processor. If we do the work that's necessary, that's specifically what we need for our hardware, and you do the rest of it, which is generic for everybody, it's carrying on the cooperation, which hopefully has always existed between the Vistos companies in the past. So, you know, ultimately, any manufacturer, whether it's Vistos or anybody else, if they feel that their sales would be increased by having Select features, then the simple answer is that Vistos should be ones that are coming to us and saying, yes, okay, we'll work with you to do the necessary bits that are needed to make Select features run on the Ionics.
Cooperation, then.
Everything being done is now coming from a common base of Vistos. You know, it's a new housing estate that's being laid out. Everybody's got a foundation for the houses. Doesn't matter what the house is going to look like at the end of it. You've all got to pay for the same foundations that are on your house to start with. So, you know, everybody, hopefully, to contribute, you know, equally to what goes into Vistos and what comes out of it. Vistos users have got to accept that, you know, it is a niche product that has got lots of advantages, and, you know, with the right people and the right amount of money behind it, you know, it could be pushed out into larger areas. But that's not what we were set up to do in the first place. Therefore, that's why we haven't really pushed into those sort of markets. If you want the core operating system and all everything that goes with it to continue to be developed, then people have got to treat it at the same level as what they do any other premium product. You shouldn't be treated as being the lowest common denominator in the Vistos world.
Okay, well, thanks for taking part, Paul. Have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And to you and all the listeners.
And now for something completely different. A little section I like to call
check it out!
Mainly I like to call it that because it means I can use that free sample I downloaded off the Beastie Boys website. And in a roundabout way, that's what I'm going to talk about. Free downloads. No Christmas party would be complete without a little music. And if you can get it gratis, so much the better, right? Some organisations would have you believe that downloading music from the internet is killing music. Of course, they said the same thing about home taping back when I was nipper, but it's Christmas, so I won't get into that argument right now. Instead, I thought I'd take a quick look at the opposite end of the spectrum. Groups who offer their own music for free, using the power of the internet to get their music out to as wide an audience as possible. To keep it at least vaguely relevant to our Vistos audience, I've decided to stick to one particular genre, nerdcore. For those of you who haven't heard it before, it's hip-hop as sung by geeks, and as such, focuses on geeky subjects, coding, encryption, Star Wars, for instance. Anyway, enough talk. I'm going to play you a few clips, let you know some URLs, and you can check it out for yourself.
Initiating startup sequence.
is sending her message to Bob. Protecting that transmission is Crypto's job. Without the help of our good friend Trent, it's hard to get that secret message sent. Worth tries to deposit a check of your salary, but with no crypto, it'll be changed by Mallory. You think no one will see what it is you believe? But you should never forget there's always an Eve. Cause I'm encrypting shit like every single day, sending data across the network in a safe way, protecting messages to make my pay. If you hack me, you're guilty under DMCA.
Met her at the Star Wars convention. Did I mention she was looking for love? Had to call her bluff. Lady, you know me, now that sounded. That 1,000-pound dude in an old fat chick shirt's astounded. Thought she'd take it back. Revoke, resent, rewind, retract. You heard me, she said, I want any man here. To descend to the cave where you conquer the fear. I'll steer you to the side to force you to. Somebody's man enough here, now who? This girl, you gotta understand, would not look out of place on the arm of an attractive man. So the geeks in attendance got jaws on the floor. One extends his saber, but he tripped on his cloak. I stepped to the front and I spoke. I ain't spitting game, look, I got a Wookiee hat on, but these guys here are used to getting spat on by girls. See, you put them in shock, and this ain't the right con to quote Mr. Spock, but it's highly illogical to me. Girl looked me in the eyes, said, is your mind free?
Cause I got something for you, it is shiny, it is clean. Come on up and I'll adore you with my yellow laser beam. Cause I got something for you, it is shiny, it is clean. Come on up and I'll adore you with my yellow laser beam.
All right, time for crime spree.
MC Frank Alive, arch criminal, the front reach the non-stop by authority. So I've been running wild for days, days. Sure they're gonna track me down. I'm the number one menace for miles around. With the littering, the loitering, the mattress tags, all the pirated MP3s I grab. And all the cable I stole, certain bathroom wall I rode on. I'm so cruel and cold, you put a coat on. Even cheat on my tag. Riding all around on my bike with no helmet, committing mail fraud whenever I see a mailman. Got a jaywalking ticket, I crumpled it up. Still bugged the boot there, cause I'm hanging out. Scream, and I'm all breaking the dogs with a regular drum. And I break it in here, and I break it some more.
I'm a question, rep inside Enigma. Get inside a slave one, find your home and signal. From Endor to Hoth, Ridley to Spock. I'll find what you want, but there's gonna be a cost. Say my name is Boba Fett, I know my shit is tight. But I'm acting right, yo, fuck with a carbonite. Got telescopic sight, flame sewers on my wrist. You still don't get the gist, spike puts them in the kick. Huh, gets them in the hit, you think I give a shit? Your mama is a bitch, I see you in the Sarlacc pit. You just flipped my switch, integrity's been dipped. You scratching on my ear, you know I shoot again. Got the bean and second teens, wait and lick my lefty lips. So I'll let you get back inside your little spaceship. Give you a head start, cause I'm a sporting con. Consider the starting line to seek a smile hot inside. Hope you have hyper drive, ready to stay alive. Don't try to slip me five, cause I never take a bribe. He's a beat of a living drama, bad funny hunter. Let no man put us under or else he be put under. As in 6 feet, got an imperial fleet backing me up, gonna blow up any attempt to defeat. They got a death star, got full payments on my car. Headed over the hammerhead, and most likely bar used to carjack. And he's a bar back, just go to show how you can get back on the right track. And for me that's not an option, can't say that with more clarity. Me going legit would be like Jar Jar with Sarah. My backpack, got jet, well I'm Boba, the Fett. Well I'm bounty hunt for Jabba Hutt to finance my bed. Well I chill in deep space, a mask is over my face. Well I deliver the prize, but I sit there on my eyes. Cause my time I don't like to waste, get down.
Then silence hits the street like a bomb, and eerie calm like the eye of a storm. Beneath the glow of an old street light, dead MIT punks be the only sight. Six motherfuckers no longer alive, Pookie's been avenged 1 for 1 plus 5, and will be long gone before the cops arrive, cause all my shooting be drive-bys. Ah yeah, I'm busting more shit than an incontinent man at a chili cook-off. The moral of the story is, don't fuck with the Hawkman, cause the Hawkman ain't done with an eye for an eye for shit. Fuck that. You take an eye, and I'll take your motherfucking head.
So, that was a grab bag of some of my favourite nerdcore. Should be immediately obvious that I'm no remix DJ, but hopefully there's something there to whet your appetite. What we had there was MC++ with Alice and Bob, MC Frontalot with both Yellow Lasers and Crime Spree, MC Chris with Fett's Vet, and MC Hawking, or my shootings be drive-bys. You can get to their websites by typing www.theirnameand.com on the end. So www.mcplusplus.com, same with MC Frontlaw, MC Chris, MC Hawking. Or I'll include the URLs in the podcast article on the Icon Bar front page.
Check it out!
So, that's about it for this Christmas edition of the Icon Bar podcast. But before you all scamper off and fill your faces with mince pies, let's end with some awards.
The best computer hardware goes to the A9 Home, obviously, because it's so fantastic.
And the best non-computer hardware award goes to the Omega.
And the most anticipated software release of 2006, well, Andrew Duffel thinks it's Firefox, but my vote goes for Oregano 3.
And finally, who does the award for the best lawyers go to, Phil?
To Linotype. No, wait, Riscos Limited. No, hang on, Castle. One of them anyway. They can fight amongst themselves for it.
Right, that's your lot, and
Merry Christmas! There's just a note saying, here Phil performs a funny yet informative skit between the interviewer and interviewee. It is made all the more hilarious by the fact that Phil improvises both parts. How about I just interview Paul Middleton instead?
Hmm?